You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Colorectal cancer was once considered a disease of older people, but is now the top cancer killer in people under age 50. Colon cancer rates for adults age 50 to 49 have doubled over the last three decades, with little concrete evidence as to why. As researchers try to find the reasons behind this surge in cases, the way doctors treat this disease is adapting to the specific needs and concerns of younger patients. University of San Francisco Health, or UCSF Health, launched a first-of-its-kind program on the West Coast dedicated to understanding and treating the colon cancer epidemic in young adults. Dr. Catherine Van Loon is a gastrointestinal oncologist with UCSF Health and joins us now. Thank you for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
What is colorectal cancer exactly? How does it attack the body?
Well, at its very earliest stages, it's a cell that mutates as part of the intestinal lining or as part of the colon's lining. And initially, typically, these are not cancerous cells. These become polyps, which are non-cancerous growths, but are at risk for transforming into a more devastating diagnosis called colon cancer. And many people develop polyps for a variety of reasons. They're thought to be perhaps a reaction to environmental factors or exposures. And a subset of them go on to turn into cancers. Cancer itself attacks the body by spreading. A tumor can form in the colon, but when it metastasizes or travels to another organ like the lungs or the liver, that's when the impact really can be devastating.
Why was colon cancer long been considered a disease of older people?
Historically, the median age at diagnosis was in the 70s, and it still is in the mid-60s. But if you recall from math, median is the middle number. So that means half of patients who are diagnosed are older than 70, and half are younger than 70. We're now seeing that shift down. Our current median age is in the mid-60s, and that is a result of the fact that we're seeing this increasing number of diagnoses happening earlier and earlier.
When did you first start learning about or noticing the rising rates of colon cancer among younger people?
So I think clinically, this has been something we've observed for a long time. We've always kind of shaken our heads when we see young patients in clinic and said the patients just seem to be getting younger and younger. So in many ways, this is validating data that is confirming. We are, in fact, seeing a rise in incidence on the order of 2 to 3% per year in individuals under the age of 50. I saw a patient just this week who was 25.
I'm a breast cancer survivor, also under 50, and there's also growing rates of breast cancer among younger people as well. And what is also, I think, similar to colon cancer, you know, 3 of 4 younger patients are diagnosed at advanced stages of the disease. I mean, is there a theory as to why that is?
So when you're diagnosed with cancer, you rely either upon screening or early detection for a cancer to be diagnosed in its early or highly curable stages. And so for breast cancer, we don't talk about screening until starting at the age of 40 is typically, for a normal risk individual, the starting age for mammography recommendations. And in colon cancer, the screening age used to be 50. In recent years, this has been reduced. Now it is recommended that normal risk individuals start screening at the age of 45. But that still, for both of these cancers, leaves an unscreened population below that age threshold.
That must be so frustrating for you as an oncologist, you know, because if you don't have a family history of colon cancer and you want to just take part in a standard preventative screening, insurance probably doesn't cover it, right, if you're younger than 45.
Yes and no. So, you know, I think screening age thresholds are set for a reason. They're calculated based upon costs and number of life saves and the likelihood of impact. I think, though, that one of our responsibilities is to raise awareness both amongst patients and among our frontline providers, so primary care providers, emergency room providers, that cancer has to still be in the differential regardless of age when a patient presents with symptoms. And just because we have a screening age, that really is intended to target a normal, completely asymptomatic individual. When somebody presents with symptoms, however, that patient typically needs to undergo an appropriate diagnostic workup, and we need to make sure our frontline providers have cancer in their list of possible diagnoses.
That's a really important point. Also, is there another component that maybe someone who's younger might overlook symptoms, maybe colon cancer or even like breast cancer? In my case, it wasn't on my radar. So, I mean, is that also a component in this as well?
Yes, absolutely. So public awareness and awareness of one's own body are actually really important. And it's important to self-advocate when you do have the sense that something abnormal is happening with your body. There is, of course, sort of this infallibility complex that happens in earlier decades of life and the presumption that it's healthy and, you know, this will pass. In particular for colon cancer, I've heard over and over again the same story of a patient who presumed for a long period of time or was told by their provider, that's just hemorrhoids. Everybody has hemorrhoids. And ultimately, the symptoms were either dismissed by the individual or by the provider and never really evaluated until the cancer was very advanced.
What symptoms do you want people to keep in mind?
So signs and symptoms of colon cancer include blood in the stool. It can be mixed in the stool. It can be blood in the toilet. Even iron deficiency is abnormal in a younger individual and older individual. We get concerned about any persistent changes in bowel habits, either alternating diarrhea or constipation, or a sensation that you're not completely emptying your bowels when you do have a bowel movement, unexplained weight loss and fatigue, and crampy abdominal pain all can be presenting symptoms.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking about the concerning rise of young-onset colorectal cancer with Dr. Catherine Van Loon, a GI oncologist with UCSF Health. So UCSF is now launching a young-onset colorectal cancer program. It's a first of its kind on the West Coast. What is this program? How did it come to be? Why is it important to understand colon cancer among younger people?
So there's a variety of different components of the program, but I'd say what really prompted me and my colleagues to think about launching this program is our observation that younger patients, maybe as you also experience, younger patients cope differently with a cancer diagnosis. And when a younger individual faces a unexpected cancer diagnosis, it oftentimes intersects with a whole bunch of other facets of life. Reproduction, preserving fertility, financial toxicity, professional development, building a family, child care services. And it's a huge host of different impacts that I think that this population experiences a little bit differently. And so our intention is really to provide wraparound care for these individuals who are facing not just their complex cancer diagnosis, but also all of the other aspects of life that are moving around the cancer diagnosis at that time. We also really are focused on research as well. There's a huge need to understand why this rise is happening and also what to do about it. And as we already talked about, the third pillar of our program is around patient advocacy, where we really believe that at the core of this, raising awareness is going to be important in terms of making sure that this population gets diagnosed on time.
So the program launched just a few months ago, I think back in March. So it's still new. But how has it been going so far?
We're building, and there's a huge need. I'd say that we are trying to pull in a whole bunch of different ancillary supports. We've had some early successes in terms of building exercise programs, developing integrative oncology services. We've launched a support group that is dedicated to our young onset colorectal cancer program. We are the first such program on the West Coast, so we're already seeing referrals come in from out of state, even out of country, this week. And so we're also trying to prepare to meet that volume.
There's a phrase that's being used to describe a specific approach to this program, and it's called integrative oncology. I mean, I'm familiar with it. I have been through it. But for someone who hasn't, what is integrative oncology?
So I would say that's one arm of this program. And my co-director, Dr. Chloe Andrea, is a specialist in integrative oncology, where that clinical care team is really trying to tackle some of the supportive care aspects of non-traditional oncologic care or non-traditional medicine for cancer patients and survivors. So that can range from cancer nutrition, exercise therapies, meditation, and supplements. This is an area where we haven't always had rigorous randomized controlled trials like we have in actual cancer therapeutics. So there's a real need to try to understand how these different therapies interface with traditional oncologic therapies like chemotherapy and radiation, how they interact, and how they can be used in concert for a particular patient.
How many patients do you expect to be part of this program?
Well, I think that, as we made estimates, it's pretty shocking that 5% of the US population lives in Northern California. So once you look at the subset of the population that is at risk for developing colon cancer, there's a huge need and demand. And, I think that hopefully we will eventually share this care load with our partners at UC Davis and UC Fresno, who are really centered in a population is heavily impacted. I will say we're seeing a higher rate of rise in our Latino and Hispanic communities. So that is really going to be an important aspect of the outreach. Ultimately, we don't want to see any patients with advanced colorectal cancer because we've done such a good job with advocacy and raising awareness, and patients are getting detected at an early stage. So, in an ideal world, people never even reach medical oncology because they're cured with surgery alone or a colonoscopy identifies their polyps early.
Yeah, that is the goal. In addition to a colonoscopy, are there other tests that someone could take if they're concerned, but maybe it doesn't rise to getting a colonoscopy?
Yes, so I should say first that colonoscopy is and probably will remain the gold standard for screening. So it is the only test that allows direct visualization of the inside of the colon with a camera. We know that not every patient is open to getting a colonoscopy, so there are alternatives. And I would say if there's an absolute apprehension to getting a colonoscopy, then there are stool-based tests. FIT tests are the most non-invasive and low-cost tests because they just are simply looking for blood in the stool. That said, if you have a positive FIT test, you need a colonoscopy. Similarly, there are tests now that look for colon cancer DNA specifically in the stool. And then the other alternative is CT colonography, where patients actually undergo insufflation, or the inside of the colon is kind of inflated with air, and then they're put into a CT scanner. So that is also considered a non-invasive alternative, although the uptake has been much less here in the United States.
Well, Dr. Loon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks again for having me.
It's an important topic. Dr. Catherine Van Loon is a gastrointestinal oncologist with UCSF Health. We've been talking about the concerning rise in colorectal cancer in people under the age of 50 and a new program UCSF Health recently launched to better treat and understand the disease in younger people. Still ahead, a new podcast is highlighting the voices and perspectives of Indigenous people across the state to coincide with the 250th birthday of the United States. We'll talk with the host of Reclaiming Our Stories. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.